Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this rainy where we are Tuesday, September the 10th. But we are in beautiful Western Canada. There are two groups of people very upset today, the farmers and the golfers, because neither one is on the land. But we know everybody's tuning in. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Hansel, he's Gretel.
And the golfers and the farmers, they're both running out of time.
That too. Yeah. I don't think I've used Hansel and Gretel yet.
No, Hansel and Gretel's good.
Going to be a wonderful day of sports talk today, making sports talk great again.
Sometimes with the treats, it seems like there's a trail of breadcrumbs right to the studio.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of treats come from Perkin Taps Coffee House here every day. And by the way, the Saskatoon Berry Lemon Scone makes my knees weak.
Ooh.
On a daily basis almost. So anyways, Dupes and I for the bunker, for the warm-up here. Big show today, as I mentioned. Johnny Cornish, Canadian Football Hall of Famer, will be with us from Cowtown in hour one. They are a lot like these New England Patriots, which you'll see when the like this right here. This came in from Connor, our intern, apparently. And why it's there, I don't know. I'd prefer a CFL helmet there, but I'm sick of the Patriots. And I'm somewhat sick of the Calgary Stampeders, because when you watch them, they're just so excellent. It's not even a game most times. I want to see if John feels the same way. Our NFL insider, one of them, Jim Lang, will be with us. And Les Lazaruk, my brother from another mother. I've often liked to say Saskatoon's version of me, if he'll have me, Les Lazaruk. Would that be fair?
Yeah.
Number 70, show number 70, as Marshall Hamilton pointed out, and he didn't need to, I already had it, Steve Mazurek. The great Steve Mazurek, Ryder Hall of Famer. I should have almost said, if I'm Hoppy, he's Maz. Because that's, of course, sort of a Batman and Robin duo, those two. Jim Hobson and Steve Mazurek.
That's how tight they were.
So, Maz, shout out to you for show number 70. From the NHL, Braden Holtby. You ever hear of him?
Yeah.
Pride of Lloydminster, Saskatchewan. Stanley Cup champion with the Capitals. Dennis Rodman and Tanner Pearson. A couple of famous number 70s.
I think Scott McHenry wore 70 with the Huskies.
There you go. So I'll write that one down.
70.
I got a lot of things to get to on my hit list in the warm-up. One is the Riders. Is this a coincidence? The very week they get named number one in the power rankings and are picked to win the Grey Cup of the simulation? Lay an egg. Don't tell me that's a coincidence. It's not. I'm sure the coaches were real happy when they saw all that come out last week, right?
That's all.
Makes it very hard to keep a team's attitude in check when that kind of stuff comes out. Marshall was yelling offset about Antonio Brown, AB. Clearly, he's got some thoughts. I have several. People are now saying that this was all an act, a ruse. All his sporadic behavior while with the Oakland Raiders. And it was just to get released so he could go sign with the New England Patriots, the team he wanted to be with all along. I'm here to tell you that's bunk. Okay, people said the same thing about Johnny Manziel. They're saying, oh, he did this. He broke the rules in the CFL so that he could get released and go back to the NFL or play in America. How did that work out? People don't do that. Mercurial people like that don't do that. And I understand normal thinking people can't understand why somebody would act that way. There must be a reason. No! The guy's operating on another planet mentally. He's not the first. He's not the last. Johnny Manziel was another. I was one. I get it. But to say he carefully orchestrated this, no. Do you agree?
Yeah.
Have you seen that conspiracy theory?
I have. Reggie Bush actually had it out, the Heisman winner.
He started it?
Former NFL running back. Well, I don't know if he started it, but he definitely had it. He put on Twitter, I saw, if AB signs with the Patriots, the NFL is rigged. You know, and everybody thinks that's the case. And then all of a sudden, within 5 minutes, he had signed with the Patriots, and away you go.
So because Reggie Bush said it, that makes it true?
I mean, part of it, today's day and age now, the players and the agents are making a lot of these trades happen, right? They're doing a lot of the work. You know, the GM says, you want out? You want to go somewhere? Okay, you make the trade happen and bring me back a trade that I can deal with and I can accept. And, you know, perhaps when it started, AB tried to facilitate a trade to the Patriots, but it just wasn't going to happen. And then maybe now he's happy to be there. I don't know. Maybe that's how the deal came together quickly. But no, there's no conspiracy theory. This doesn't happen by...
You're with me on it?
Oh, yeah. Big time. This isn't the master plan. This team doesn't look very good. I'd love to win a Super Bowl. I want to go to the Patriots. Okay, if I throw a fit today and I threaten to punch my GM tomorrow and I do this and this and this
then
and
this will happen.
Yeah.
No, there's no way. And people are, I see Sean writing in on the Facebook wall and he says, well, that's the way NBC made it sound. Who cares? The only people that know are, there's only one person actually, Antonio Brown's the only guy that knows why this all happened. You're totally right. He couldn't have foreseen all the erratic behavior leading to him being released, other than he asked for his release. The Raiders weren't even going to release him, Darren. He was going to play last night. And then as it turns out, the Raiders didn't need him. I thought they looked real good last night. Oh, yeah. And that's the other thing. I see Luke Mullender's tweet, something along the lines of, well, would you want to play in Oakland? Why the hell not? They looked pretty good last night against a team that I thought was supposed to be good, the Denver Broncos. So clearly we're going to be spending a lot of time on AB as the program goes along, which is fine. Leafs to name a captain. Have you heard that? They're looking for a captain?
Yes.
They haven't had one since Dion Phaneuf was shipped out of town since February of 2016.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
It's been some time since they've had a captain. I'm trying to think of the last, you know, real captain. I mean, he was the captain and he was good. But the last, like, real captain that, you know, has been there for a while, I probably was Matt Sundin, the last real captain that the Leafs had. I don't know. But... yeah, you know, is it going to be Matthews? Is it going to be John Tavares? I don't know. But, yeah, they're going to name a captain this year, so that's exciting.
We have an emerging story this morning, okay? If you notice, Darren's eyes were on my microphone. Something's happened here. We need a performance-enhancing pill for my microphone today. Listen, don't worry about the damn mic flash. It keeps sliding down, and they're writing me on the, can you slide back up your mic? Don't worry about it. It's not that important. What's important is what we're talking about here and how it sounds, not how it looks. So just relax.
You can see me sweating.
Yeah, and I was already sweating. I was in the gym. Oh, which, by the way, guy said to me this morning in the gym, and it wasn't Marshall. We were there together. Guy says to me, because what do you talk about at the gym? You talk about sports, you talk about nutrition, you talk about health. And the guy, we talked about Tom Brady and how he eats the same thing every day. It seems to be working, right?
Yes.
And the guy goes, well... he goes, I'm pretty healthy. I'm in my 40s. I'm the same age as Tom. Do you think Tom Brady's wife gets mad at him when he's out too late on the weekends? And I said, Tom Brady's not out too late on the weekends. That's the point. Everybody wants Tom Brady's life. Nobody wants to wade through all the dirt and walk on the 100 miles of broken glass to get to where Tom Brady is. It's one of the biggest reasons why he is who he is. He does the things winners do, the things that losers don't want to do. The health. No sugar, no caffeine, no all that stuff, right? So, no, Tom doesn't stay out too late. And by the way, if Giselle Bundchen was your wife, you probably wouldn't either.
No.
Okay, so you can't compare your life to Tom Brady's or Damon Allen's or whomever's. Got a guy tuning in this morning. Darren Burns says, good day, Rod, from Moncton. Good day, Darren. He was a CFL alum who I met, one of the big drivers between the success that was Touchdown Atlantic. So good morning, Darren, and all our friends watching from Atlantic Canada. Daryl Geddes chiming in from Waverly, Nova Scotia. I love this morning coffee get together, and actually out there it's afternoon. So thanks for tuning in. By the way, for some reason, the Prairie Mobile text line is loading up. Can I read a couple?
Yeah.
First of all, Anonymous texter says, looks like the tennis game smashed the CFL in TV ratings. 3.4 million for tennis. Wow. Totally fine. CFL's been in around for 100 plus years. Bianca Andreescu's been around for a couple of weeks. Sorry.
No, they're fine.
You understand, right?
No,
like I'm not. I don't think the CFL's quaking in its boots that tennis beat it one weekend ever.
But that's what happens with special events.
Right.
I mean, tennis isn't on every week. Well, I mean, it's on every week-ish during the season. But it's the CFL's here, 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 and all of a sudden one event comes in, takes the ring. CFL's not, it doesn't, it's not crushing the CFL.
No.
It's just one day. It's something that took our national attention away. It's great.
Jason May chiming in from North Alabama. Good morning, Jason. I'm supposed to be heading down to North Alabama this fall. I have not told you that.
No, you haven't.
But I will, because you probably need to know that. And
you let me know.
Take
when.
Your eyes off the mic flash. Up here, okay. I'm going to Gladmar, Saskatchewan today to speak, by the way, as you know.
Yes.
On the Prairie Mobile text line, hey Rod, very entertaining Texans Saints game last night. Deshaun Watson getting back to rookie form where he was predicted to be a candidate for MVP. Sadly, Deshaun Watson's efforts weren't enough, as Will Lutz is an amazing kicker and was able to kick a 58-yarder. That's right, to win the game. This is from Brady in Saskatoon, who's supposed to be in class this morning. That kid, if he gets expelled, I'm not taking responsibility for it.
No.
And by the way, yes, Deshaun Watson looked great last night, but they lost. But I was watching that pretty closely because we're going to be watching the Houston Texans in Houston in December. Christine Stapleton watching from London, Ontario, the very popular former head coach of the U of R women's basketball team. They were the last to win a bronze baby here. Or she was the last to win a bronze baby, was she not?
I think
National
so.
Championship.
Yeah.
And last one before we break. Hey, Rod, what do you think of the Twitter spat between John Ryan and Derek Taylor? Well, oh, Clark tells me he has the tweet. So, Derek Taylor posting, I think it was last night, some stats on CFL punters. It included John Ryan's stats, and they were manipulated to put John Ryan at the bottom. Do you want to pull that up? Clark just tells me that he has it. So there it is. Happy to help. Richie Leone, number one. I don't honestly even understand what this is. You see John Ryan ranked ninth. And John responds, John JR says, yep, I'm the ninth best punter in the CFL. I wish you would commentate on what you see on the field and not on your personal stat book. Okay, you can take it down. So, anonymous commenter, by the way, wants to know my thoughts on this. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Well, obviously, people know that Derek Taylor's a stats guy, and you can manipulate stats however you want. I mean, the CFL stats for week 14 came out on Sunday. I was looking, the Eskimos have the number one offense, most first downs, fewest sacks allowed. And they're one of the worst teams in the league right now. You can manipulate stats however you want. So I'm not a big stat guy. But I guess to manipulate stats to make your own player look bad, I don't think that's wise. And furthermore, to make John Ryan look bad, who was, until the emergence of Cody Fajardo, John was the biggest star on this football team, right, hometown boy? Double not wise. With your own team, that's all, because I think in my 20 years, Darren, I could count on one hand the amount of spats that I had with current riders. As a matter of fact, I could count it on one fist.
Wow.
I didn't fight with anybody in that locker room. Well, it's pretty evident because they're all coming on the show now.
Right.
After the fact. So not a move I would advocate, but hey, this is what they wanted. So I'm enjoying it. We'll see where it goes from here. How's that?
Well, stuff like that's entertaining for sure. I mean, it's good to see that people are passionate about it and the players are paying attention. We knew that the players were paying attention. They always do, right? I mean,
They're always watching.
They're always watching.
Of course.
They always know what people are saying and what people are tweeting about them for sure. It is interesting. You know, stats are funny. And I sit on both sides of it. I think they're super valuable. I really do. I think the numbers can tell a lot about the story and a lot about what's actually happening on the field. So I think there's a ton of value there. But, you know, at the same time, yeah, it's your own guy. Right?
Part of that's the, where
it's your own guy, and that's part of where it's just a little uncomfortable when it's your own guy like that. So those are the things maybe in that spot that you kind of cover up a little bit, or you just don't make the, you know, put the attention on. But then also at the same time, when it comes down to that kind of stuff, the only people who know what the valuable numbers are the people in the locker room and the coaching staff, right? Because they know what they want. That's the difference. I mean, we can think about what's good and what's not. We look at, you know, completion percentage or passing yards or, you know, Brandon Bridge, for example. We all were upset that they weren't throwing it down the field, weren't throwing it down the field, weren't throwing it down the field. Have you ever thought that maybe the coaches said, don't throw it down the field? Right? Stephen McAdoo came out and said that, you know, we want to have a ball control offense. We want to control the clock. We want to run the ball well. We want to chew up yards and chew up the clock. Sure, that means short plays. We don't want to have big, explosive 70-yard touchdowns and off the field. We want to wear the defense out over time and control the ball. And so he wasn't throwing it down the field, right? We only know what we see. We only know the stats that we can read on the internet. We don't know what the coaches are asking in the team meetings and and on the sidelines, right?
And that's when Neil Hughes sat on that chair right there and said he'd love to play with a punter like John Ryan. Punt it as far as you can. We'll go cover it. That's from Neil. So everybody has a different opinion. But to make your own player look bad, I wouldn't advise it. Anyways, we got Marshall waiting on set. We got John Cornish, Jim Lang, and Les Lazarek coming up today. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Time is running out on the employee pricing of our 500 new vehicles in stock. Get up to 19 grand off new F-150s. The employee price on this Super Crew 4x4 is just $34,999 plus tax. Employee pricing on all new Ford Escapes means up to $7,500 off. And we have over 100 in stock. Plus, get up to 16 grand in savings on a brand new Super Duty. We have over 60 in stock. The countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Lincoln. Offers end September 30th.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Back and kicking it. Let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
You would not believe what just happened in the last 3 minutes. That was the fastest pit change ever. Man, you guys should be on the NASCAR circuit.
Oh, yeah.
And look at this thing standing upright like it. Love it.
You don't need to wait no 40 minutes.
Sports update brought to you by Cialis. One WHL preseason game tonight. Everett will visit Seattle. Pats are home Friday, right? But we're not going.
No.
Because that's homecoming night. Rams and Huskies. Ooh, I can't wait. It's only Tuesday. Blue Jays return to action tonight. Toronto looks to snap a 7-game losing streak when it opens a 3-game series against the visiting Boston Red Sox. And Saints kicker Will Lutz, as we mentioned, hit a 58-yard field goal as time expired to give the Saints a 30-28 win over the Houston Texans. The Oakland Raiders defended home field by beating the Denver Broncos 24-16. Morning sports update written by Connor the intern, brought to you by Ballers Rec Room. Regina's newest entertainment destination. And thanks again for hosting our watch party on Sunday. Guys, as I welcome Marshall Hamilton to the bunker, I'm watching the game last night. And what do they call it? What's the Saints field? Mercedes-Benz Superdome.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that's the one place I haven't been that I'd love to go. Is there one that a stadium other than that, Marshall, that you haven't been that you'd love to go? For me, it's New Orleans. I really want to see that stadium.
Well, I haven't been to I've been to a couple of them, but there's been a lot of them that I had never been to. But I think the one that I think I'd be most excited to go to would probably be Seattle. I think just to see the 12th
loudest
man there and the loudest and that the shape of that stadium and that atmosphere, I think that would be pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
I was thinking the same thing, yeah.
Really?
Seattle or Kansas City is supposed to be really loud too, which would be really neat. But I'd like to see the new stadium in Atlanta. With the halo and everything else, that one looks outstanding. And with apparently the glass on the outside, so when you're doing the concourse lap, you can see down into downtown Seattle. That looks really cool.
Nice.
A couple things, just checking the Facebook wall. Jeff Krieger, he's watching in Estevan today. He says, when are we going to start talking about these staff players that are going to NHL training camps? Not for a while, Jeff. It's football time, don't you know? Nelson Hakowicz says the Riders' odds to win the 2019 Grey Cup have slipped to 3.21%. And I don't think he's joking. Nelson, my M-Box isn't working, by the way. That means I'm not getting ESPN in the mornings. I need you to come to my house and fix it, please. Thank you.
Any idea what that number was?
Wasn't it 35%?
Oh, yeah. At 3.21%, I don't know that's not a number that's coming from somewhere. But yeah.
I don't think he's joking. That's probably the latest simulation.
Do you think so? From 35% to 3%?
Marshall,
we're 35% is the number. That was an absurd number.
But they run that simulation. They do it all, whatever he said, all the different ways that they determine it. Strength of schedule that you've played, margin of victory, strength of schedule in teams you're going to play. And then they run that simulation 10,000 times to try and make it as accurate as possible. But, yeah, it definitely took a huge, huge hit after the Banjo Bowl.
One more hello, because it's from my buddy Hurricane Huber. And he says, good morning from Tucson, from Steve Hurricane Huber. Tucson, Arizona. One of my favorite George Strait videos. Good evening, Tucson. And he goes out to play. Love it. Marshall, we're all sitting here waiting for your take on the Banjo Bowl. So let's get to it. And as have you been waiting too, I'm sure.
Well, actually, full disclosure, Saturday, number one priority for me was our two-year-old grandson who we had out to the lake to visit with my wife and I and spend overnight. So Tuesday, my number one priority was my grandson, Finn, 2 years old. Number two priority was I wanted to watch Andreescu play in the U.S. Open Final. You know, that was... So I ended up PVR. And then the third priority was watching the Ryder game, and the fourth priority was the other two games that were played on Saturday. So Saturday, there clearly wasn't enough of Marshall Hamilton to go around to do all of those things. So I PVR'd everything, spent as much time as I could with my wife and grandson, and we had a great day. And then I sort of caught up with everything after he went to bed, and not everything, but as much of it as I could. But of all the things that happened on the weekend, what was the most disappointing? The Banjo Bowl. That was brutal. That was, my take is the Riders, you know, crapped the bed. It was really obvious which the better team was out there. And you've heard me on this show and you've heard me on In the Huddle talk about, you know, the teams that I think are the strongest in the CFL this year. And I probably took some flack for picking Winnipeg, you know, right in game day one. And I looked like a genius through the first 5 or 6 weeks when they were undefeated, and then they lose two in a row, and everybody's saying, well, Winnipeg's just being very Winnipegish. Well, that looked like one hell of a football team against the Saskatchewan Roughriders. Saskatchewan Roughriders got a good football team, but they're a middle-tier team. You know, and I hate to disappoint the Rider fans, of which I'm one, but the Rider fans on the broadcast here, that, you know, you look at the top three teams, the bottom three teams, and the middle three teams. I put the Saskatchewan Roughriders in the middle. I don't, you know, for somebody to say that they were 35% favorite based on some simulation, well.
Ridiculous.
That's
Sorry.
Unbelievable.
I know.
I mean, to say that they're a 3% chance now is much closer, and I think that one's way too low, too. So I think from 35% to 3%, what happened to your simulation? I mean, I'm not a statistician, but I took lots of stats when I was in college, and I know that you can get stats. I know you're going to get back maybe to Derek Taylor's comments about John Ryan punting and statistics and the value of statistics, but, you know, simulations don't win Grey Cups. Leaders win Grey Cups. Champions win Grey Cups. Great players win Grey Cups. Great coaches win Grey Cups. Great players win Grey Cups. If you'd asked me, I don't know, a month ago, what are the Riders' chances of beating the Winnipeg Blue Bombers if they don't have Matt Nichols, Andrew Harris, Nick Gemsky, and Andrew and Lucky Whitehead? I would have said their chances are really good. Well, they didn't have those four players, and they got clobbered by that same team. That is a good football team. The Winnipeg Blue Bombers and the Calgary Stampeders are the class of the Canadian Football League. And the Riders, unfortunately, you're, in my opinion, in the second tier, not in the first tier.
Nelson has just chimed in with the latest simulation results. The Blue Bombers favored 53.46% to win the Grey Cup. Hamilton's next, 19.6%. Calgary, 19.5%. And then a significant drop down to Montreal, 3.33%. And the Riders, 3.21. And Darren, you were smiling like a butcher's dog as he was going on his rant. What? Why? Is there something I missed?
No, just agreeing with him. I mean, I do. I agree. It's you can put the stats and you can have the numbers, and that's great, but it doesn't account for some of those things that come up, right? Some of those intangibles, the leaders who step up, who you don't know are leaders because, you know, they don't shine until those big moments, right? That's when they come out and make big plays. Those things kind of will throw the stats into a tailspin. So it's fun that Nelson put the latest rankings up on the Facebook wall in the comments, that Winnipeg's up to 53% or whatever it was, and the Riders are actually at the 3.21%. I mean, it's great conversation, but it doesn't mean a whole lot. You still got to play the games in the field because the Riders were the favorites, right? 35%, and then just got beat up and down the field.
Yeah, if I was doing those rankings right now, and this isn't statistics, this is just Marshall using his experience and knowledge and watching the games, I'd say you've got two teams that are at 45%, and that's Calgary and Winnipeg, and everybody else makes up the other 10.
Jessica, watching from Winnipeg this morning, she says, I like this guy. I'm sure she's referring to you. And Marshall is an alum of the Stampeders, the Ticats, and the Riders. So you have a broad view of the CFL as alum of all those teams. We like Marshall, too. That's why he's here. Our daily poll, by the way, for Capital Auto Mall, Universal Collision Center. They took it off. Now it's back up. You can vote on Twitter, at Rod Peterson Show, on our Facebook page or our website. Which free agent quarterback would you prefer to sign? Cody Fajardo, and by the way, I put these in alphabetical order, so there's no skullduggery going on. Cody Fajardo, Jeremiah Masoli, Matt Nichols, or Chris Streveler? Out of all of them, I'll go first. I'll vote for Cody. Before I release the results so far, and I put it up at like 6:30 this morning, so there's quite a few hundred votes. Who would you guys vote for?
Yeah, I'm not going to be influenced by the fact that Cody Fajardo is a Rough Rider, and I'm not going to be influenced by the fact that 71% are already on that bandwagon. But I would go for Cody Fajardo, but I'll explain why. I don't think I'd pick Jeremiah Masoli because he's just coming off an ACL injury, and you never know how somebody's going to recover from that. I don't think Matt Nichols would be the guy either because, you know, I think he's getting near the end of his career, and also coming off an injury. Streveler, you know, looked like a world beater against the Saskatchewan Roughriders, but eventually people are going to figure him out. And eventually, you know, a guy that's essentially a running back playing quarterback is going to get hit. And if you get hit enough times, you're going to get hurt. And if you're hurt, you have to learn how to throw the ball. And yeah, he threw, I think, three or four touchdown passes in that game, but he's not a throwing quarterback. He's a running quarterback that can throw. And if you take away that dimension, if he gets an injury and you know, has his first surgery or whatever, and all of a sudden now he's not as fast as he was, not as aggressive as he was, and now he's being forced to be a passing quarterback, I don't think he's the guy. I think Cody Fajardo has, in his short audition with the Saskatchewan Roughriders, shown that he's a great leader. He can run the ball. He can throw the ball. He can protect the ball for the most part. And he would be the guy I'd go after as a free agent.
Just if I may, the poll results have Cody Fajardo out front at 70.7%, Jeremiah Masoli 17.1%, Chris Streveler 9.8%, and Matt Nichols 2.4%. And we didn't put Trevor Harris in there because he's not an upcoming free agent, but we did have an Eskimo fan write in a little earlier with our thoughts on the Esks, and we'll get to that. But who are you voting for, Dupes, in that list?
It depends which team I am. A good part of me wants to take Jeremiah Masoli and take a shot that the knee's going to be okay and that's going to be fine. Because if you're a team that's ready to win now, he's probably the quarterback of the group that's most prepared to win now. He's at the peak of his career. I think he's the best quarterback today of that group. So I'm taking Jeremiah Masoli if I want to win now. If I'm thinking long term, I might take Fajardo because I think he's got the most upside. He seems to have the most promise and seems to be somebody that you want to build a team and a leadership group around Cody Fajardo. So long term, I think I'm taking Fajardo. But today, Masoli's the best of the bunch.
Well, and you look at Masoli, by the way. There's a few things that I don't really understand. What are the Ticats? 9-2, I think, and coming off a bye. So they lose Masoli and they keep winning. What that tells me is that's a system that's in place there, very similar to the Calgary Stampeders. And I think Eric Tillman's the architect of a lot of it. Yes, Orlando Steinauer. A lot of great coaches have come through there. June Jones. It's a lot of the new staff, but a lot of the same staff too. And Jeremiah Masoli is a find of Eric Tillman. There's a lot of people that don't like Eric Tillman. I don't get the hate. Three Grey Cup titles with Eric Tillman on his resume. He built all that in Hamilton. And with Masoli, the only guys that have won playoff games out of this list are Masoli and Matt Nichols. Fajardo and Streveler haven't even started one, so that's not their fault. But I would take Masoli far ahead of Matt Nichols. But it's interesting, Marshall, that Nichols drops so far. He's fourth. He is a distant fourth in that group, maybe for the reasons that you outlined. Getting older, coming off an injury.
Well, he's not he's coming off an injury, but he had an injury that he missed the whole season early on in his career when he was with the Edmonton Eskimos. You know, these injuries catch up to you eventually. I mean, especially knee injuries. Knee injuries catch up to you. This time it's a shoulder injury. I don't think they've been transparent about the nature of it, but shoulder injuries for a quarterback are problematic. Knee injuries for any athlete are problematic. And he's had those two injuries, including one he's going through right now. Plus, you know, even the Winnipeg Blue Bombers aren't Matt Nichols fans. You know, even when he was 5-0, they still, you know, were wondering, well, why don't we put Streveler in? So there's just an intangible about him and being late in his career and two major injuries, as I've talked about, he wouldn't be on my list. But, and Masoli, I think Masoli's a really good quarterback and I think he's a really good leader. But again, major ACL surgery. You know, that has an impact. Masoli is a good quarterback, but Masoli also is an effective runner and puts that threat in the eyes of the defense. And if an ACL injury causes him to not have that same threat, then he becomes a passing quarterback and you game plan for a passing quarterback. So and he's also getting on in on years too. So Cody Fajardo at his age with his relative free of injury history would be my choice.
Well, he's got Jesus on his side.
And a little sprinkle of Jesus doesn't hurt.
And don't think he doesn't believe that's why he's been able to escape injury. And you know what? He might be right. So some of the topics this morning kicking around. Are we having connection problems with John Cornish? What's the deal there? Radio silence from NASA over. Oh, we're getting close. Do you want to talk about Antonio Brown? You seem to have some thoughts on Antonio Brown. I'll recap those that missed the warm-up.
Is that his helmet, though?
This is AB's helmet.
That's his new...
His head's too big to fit this.
That concussion
but
certified?
I'll say it again. When people look at a guy like Antonio Brown and say, what's he thinking? He must have cooked this all up. No, he's not thinking. For volatile people, do I have to do this again? You know, unpredictable people, they say, why is he thinking that? There must be a method to his madness. No, it's just madness. There's no method to AB's madness. That's my belief. And I'll use Johnny Manziel as an example. What's your take on this whole, the last week and the biggest NFL story?
Well, first of all, grow up.
Are you talking to me?
Antonio, no. Antonio Brown, grow up. I mean, it's really sad, and it's self-destructive behavior, but it's really sad to see, and I'm generalizing when I say this, obviously, but when you take, you know, a poor kid out of the South, and there's so many of them in the NFL, these poor kids out of the South that were raised by their mothers because their father was in jail and all of this. And then they don't have enough money for food on the table. And then they get into, because they're a good athlete, they get into a college, and all of a sudden the colleges start babying them. They start giving them free meals. They start giving them tutors. They start giving them clothing, and they start telling them how wonderful they are. And all of a sudden these guys that have never had love in their lives other than from perhaps a grandmother that helped raise them, feel like, oh, wow, maybe I am as great as you guys keep telling me I am. And then they play a couple of good seasons in college, and the NFL starts knocking on the door saying, hey, you could be a number one pick. You could be da-da-da. And all of a sudden, the head just starts to go like this. And that's why Antonio Brown can't fit his helmet. It's not because the helmet doesn't fit. It's because his head's too big. And I don't mean that to be derogatory, but grow up. I mean, you're a member of a team. There's 55 people on your roster. You're one of 55. You're not number one of 55. You're one of 55. And the kind of antics that he was doing through the season or through the preseason, you know, stupid stuff where he's freezing his feet and then his helmet is the wrong size and then he wants to hold out training camps and different things like that. I mean, grow up. If I was one of his teammates, I'd slap him upside the head and I'd say, grow up. You're one of us, and you start acting like one of us instead of one of one. I don't even want, like, if I'm one of the Oakland Raiders, as much as he's a talent, I don't want him on my team.
Yeah, I can't think he'd be popular with his teammates.
I can't imagine why the New England Patriots want him on their team either, especially when they've already got a challenging receiver in Josh Gordon to boot. But Tom Brady will likely work magic with him. Bill Belichick will likely work magic with him. But I'd be surprised if this lasts the whole season.
We must take a timeout. That is, you're echoing the comments of our NFL insider, Tory Gurley, yesterday, who said he grew up in this league with AB. And he said he's a different guy now than he was then. Everything that you've pointed out. John Cornish coming up along with Jim Lang and Les Lazarus on this Tuesday morning, episode number 70. If you've got some famous number 70s you would like to point out to join the list of Steve Mazurek, Dennis Rodman, and Braden Holtby, fire them at us on the Facebook wall or the Prairie Mobile text line, 840-8777. That's 306-840-8777. It's the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. September the 10th, coming to you from the bunker here in rainy Western Canada. Rod Peterson here, Darren DuPont, as well as Stamps, Ticats, Riders alum Marshall Hamilton in the bunker. We're recognizing famous number 70s on the 70th episode of the program, and somebody has chimed in with Vince Goldsmith, second all-time in sacks for the green and white. From the NFL, Tom Pura, watching in Grand Prairie, Alberta this morning, has pointed out Jim Marshall, Leonard Marshall, Sam Huff, and Art Donovan. So, yes, celebrating 70. That's a big number. This guy wore number 9. We're going out to Calgary this morning on the video chat to join the latest member of the Canadian Football Hall of Fame, Johnny Cornish. There he is, JC. Good morning, John. How are you?
How are you guys doing?
We're doing very well. John, how is life as a Canadian Football Hall of Famer? Has it been life-changing for you to go into the Hall in Hamilton?
You know, at first I didn't know how much it would change my life, but it definitely is always nice to have people stop you on the street, be able to set up meetings with these people and engage with them. It's definitely increased my profile here in town, and that's something that you want when you're in my line of business.
Well, I'll tell you what, one of my pet peeves is the lack of television broadcast of the induction ceremony. Jim Hobson sending me the video of his speech. I don't have it yet. Can you summarize what yours was that great Friday night last month in Hamilton?
You know, I've heard that some people have seen it, but I've also heard that you know, let me see this as well. I think I said sort of thank yous across the board. I tried to tell it sort of in the story where I thank the people that helped me in college, in high school, as well as a professional. But for me, I just built the whole thing up to sort of lead to how I what I feel is the greatest prize of my life, which was sort of playing my whole football career, retiring, having my retirement press conference, and then showing up to work at TD Wealth the following day, where I met my wife. So that was like, it all sort of unfolded perfectly. And then I thanked her with the very last thing that I said. So,
well, congratulations again from us. And I do have some football questions, but you guys take over. You got a few for Johnny here this morning too.
Yeah, John, Marshall Hamilton here. I want to ask this kind of on behalf of all the Rough Rider fans that remembered you, I'm going to say fondly, but the truth is they don't remember you fondly.
Killed us.
But I'm curious, you know, at this stage of your career, you look back on it, and I'm curious, what were your thoughts at the time, and what are your thoughts now, sort of 10 years later, when you think of the relationship you had with the Saskatchewan Rough Rider fans? And I'm thinking of in one incident in particular where your pants happened to fall down a little bit, and you pulled them back up. Tell me about that relationship with the Saskatchewan Roughrider fans. What was going through your mind back when you were playing versus what's going through your mind right now?
So I had an experience in 2013 where you know, I got to go to Regina to be part of the Grey Cup festivities and you know, potentially receive an award for MOC and MOP. I was very much expecting to be public enemy number one while I was in town, but unfortunately that didn't end up happening. Everybody was super nice, like roll out the red carpet kind of nice. And for me, it was a wonderful experience. The people of Regina and Saskatchewan were great hosts. And that's sort of what I took away, you know, after sort of that experience. I think everybody knows what transpired before. It was just jokes and sort of at this point, sort of a few years removed, it's a running joke. My wife and I always, and no matter where we go, we'll encounter a Rough Rider fan. And how's the way that you know that somebody is a Rough Rider fan? Because that's the first thing they'll tell you. And I told Kieran this, my wife, within a few weeks of us going out. And sort of at this point, it has become a trope that just keeps on reinforcing itself.
John, let me come at it from a different, not come at it, but let me ask a question on a different topic altogether. You were one of the first Canadian quarterbacks to really make their mark on the Canadian Football League. And I'm curious, when you look back on your career, the challenges that you faced cracking the starting lineup, that is, as a Canadian quarterback.
Canadian running back, sorry.
And the challenges in particular when you've got a whole bunch of coaches and general managers that are all American. And I only know you went to an American college, but I've said for years that I believe that there's a natural bias that an American general manager, an American coach will have towards finding an American to play their quarterback position, to play their running back position, et cetera. Tell me about the challenges and the obstacles you faced cracking the lineup as a starting Canadian running back.
You know, I was unaware of any issues having to do with my nationality. I thought that I could roll into Canada after I was undrafted in the States. Previous to that, I made a decision if I didn't get drafted, I was coming to Canada. And sort of because of that, I thought I was going to have the opportunity to play purely on my talents and my skills. Unfortunately, I came up behind Joffrey Reynolds, and that caused a little bit of a delay in my plan. But at the same time, I was also told that being a Canadian running back meant that they would have to make roster adjustments and you know, change around the ratio and stuff. And these were all things that I realized I needed to elevate my game even further to overcome. And it was just another obstacle. Now more to your point of American coaches, I think my time in the States at Kansas exposed me to both some of the best parts about coaching. My coach, Earl Moseley, ended up coming to the Hall of Fame induction, which I was very grateful for. But also the worst. You know, the very first coach I had at Kansas, first thing that happens when I walk into his office is he tells me I'm uncoachable. So I just learned how to navigate coaches that might not necessarily have your best interests at heart and just figure out a way to manifest your goals.
Wow, that's cool. You know, Marshall just mentioned, you know, coming up through the American college system as a Canadian, and now a Hall of Fame career. Now you got an award named after you, the John Cornish Award. Tell us about the award, because I understand it goes to the top Canadian player playing in NCAA football?
That is correct. That is correct. I heard about it around the same time as the Grey Cup. Sorry, as the Hall of Fame induction. And, you know, I wondered, you know, was there some collusion here? Was there some conversation behind some back channels? But regardless, I was very happy because when I was brought out to Hamilton, I had the opportunity both to meet with the Hall of Fame people as well as the Cornish Trophy people. And for those guys to sort of think that this needed to be filled, like, there was no trophy for me after I set records at Kansas. There was nothing, no recognition in Canada. And I think the people at Crown Countdown, you recognized that there needed to be something. Jim Mullen and his team of people came together and they let's do something. And they made a decision to sort of recall a more recent athlete rather than sort of harking back to the past. And because of that, there was a consensus on selecting me. Now, at the same time, on top of the Cornish Trophy, there's the names of all the greatest Canadian players that have played university football. And because of that, I felt that it's not just a trophy with my name on it. It literally has all these other great player names. And in fact, it has one of my favorite players down there. A few other guys. It was just awesome to see that all come together. And it's nice to have a picture of yourself on a trophy. But I will say this: the number one best part about having your own trophy is when I rolled into the Hall of Fame to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. My trophy was already in the Canadian Football Hall of Fame. So that was an honor that I don't know if I'll ever get to live up to.
Wow. I didn't know that Jim Mullen was behind that. He's doing great things as president of Football Canada and also with Crown Countdown U, as you mentioned.
I'd just love to hear. I don't want to put you on the spot if you can't remember very many, but what are some of the other names that are on that trophy?
What are some of the other names? I'm just going to like slide over here onto my other monitor and maybe something will happen. No, we're not going to do that. As it stands, I cannot remember and I feel bad. You know,
Ruben Mays, might he be on that?
The first guy, actually, now he's won twice, the first inductee. And now we're going to probably see somebody else coming up too. So Nathan Rourke was the two-time, he's now the two-time Cornish Trophy winner. And he's playing some great football, and I think he could come up here and play. But as for those other guys, Palmer's on there, I think. Jesse Palmer. And then a few CFL guys, but
wow. You're talking about some big names there, though, just with the guys that you mentioned. Switching gears, so I have this Patriots helmet, which I think I'm going to remove. It just came here today. It doesn't feel right having it on my desk. But I'm watching them the other night just toy with the Steelers, and it just reminded me of the Calgary Stampeders just about every time they take to the field. And that's not new. That's been going on for a long time. Like, do you enjoy watching the Stamps just dominate everybody every week? Or are you like the rest of Canada just saying, can we get another dominant team in there now? Or you just love them crushing everybody as the alum that you are?
You know, I like to think that I was a part of sort of the inception of that dominance, you know, coming in with Coach Hufnagel, Dave Dickinson. These guys have been around on the organization forever, right? Like when you have that level of continuity, I don't think you'll regret having that. It's one of those things I think every other team in the league wants to have. Look at BC, you know, multiple coaches have gone through. Saskatchewan, multiple coaches have gone through. Edmonton, multiple coaches. You know, I think Winnipeg is now starting to realize some of the benefits of having that continuity over time. You know, they might have had some seasons to start off with where they were struggling with their head coach, but at this point, I think they're doing very well. And I think that's what more and more teams in the CFL should be focused on, is having that continuity. Like a team like Montreal finally gets some stability, and now they're getting some wins. And I think I'm not sure if we'll see head coaching position rotation, because I think at the end of the day, a coach like Devon Claybrooks needs to have some time to get comfortable. Ed Hervey needs to give him some time to develop, and I think that we're going to start to see that more and more often in CFL, because there's not too many coaches that can actually coach CFL football at a high level quality.
No kidding. We got Wayne writing in here from Victoria. He says, it seems you shouldn't judge people before you get to know them. John definitely is impressing me as a human being. That's from Wayne in Victoria this morning. Well, I got to spend some time with John in Winnipeg at the Grey Cup whenever it was there, I'll say 2015. You were doing that jumpstart stuff with Canadian Tire and Sport Check, and I'm like, wow, this is a super solid guy here. So I guess that's what's good about these interviews. And the other thing is, you are doing some media work with the Stampeders. We've all seen it. How are you enjoying being on that side of the camera and joining the dark side, the analysts of the CFL?
You know, it's, you start to realize some of your limitations in being able to judge the outcomes of future games. You start to understand what let's say sells the best online, which creates the best engagement. And it's been a great experience, and I'm very grateful to the Stampeders for giving me this opportunity. We had talked about it a few years ago. Then last year I worked with Alana Nolan, and now I'm just hosting it myself. And you know, sort of at this point, I'm very, very keen on continuing to do this in one way, shape or form. I feel like this is sort of my way back rather than coaching, the way to give back to the CFL.
John, you said you're with TD now, right? Is that it?
I was with TD for 6 years. So I was 3 years in the branch, 3 years with TD Wealth, and I moved over to Cumberland Private Wealth. And
okay. That's where I'm at. I was going to say, do you always wear the red tie? I thought TD's colors were green. I thought they were green.
No, I wore this.
Oh.
I know my hat right here.
That's not TD Green.
Yeah, no way.
What else?
He looks as young as a college kid.
And I got my...
All right. That's amazing. You better get that framed, which I'm sure you obviously are. But John, we'll let you go. I just want to say this. I had my cousin in there doing business with you recently. I don't even know if you remembered. It was this summer. You said some very nice things. So I appreciate that. And good luck with everything that you're doing, man. It's so nice to see that you're having such success in life. You deserve it.
Well, thank you very much, Rod. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, John. John Cornish. And that's the kind of guy, the personality that CFL needs, was built on.
Yeah.
And it's nice to do these kinds of interviews. But what are we noticing? And maybe, Marshall, you're the guy that played in the CFL. You can explain this. But they seem to be different guys post-career. They're not uptight. They're not anxious. Not worried about what they're going to say. They're just so much more relaxed in this setting.
Well, the persona of an athlete, and you can pick a sport, doesn't matter. I mean, to think Bianca Andreescu is the same person on camera as she is at home is I think pretty naive. And especially in my view, when you're playing a contact sport like football, like hockey, you you get yourself mentally psyched up throughout the week, but especially in the hour or two before the game, mentally psyched up to take on this new superhero. You know, I can take on anything. I can hit anybody. I can hit a guy that's 100 pounds heavier than me. I can run faster than him. I can jump higher than him. You take on this personality, and sometimes that personality that enables you to succeed and perform on the football field gets magnified when all of a sudden there's a camera there, or when all of a sudden there's a microphone thrown in your mouth. So it's not the real you, it's the superhero you that you put yourself, you put the cape on at the beginning of the game, and you're still wearing that cape and then the microphone's there. So once the game's over, you take the cape off, the emotions start to come back down, you have your hot shower, you jump in the cold tub or whatever you do, you have a beer, and then you're back to being the guy you always are. You're the husband, the father, the friend, the teammate. So you know, rarely are people, professional athletes, both when they're playing, but especially after they're playing, the same person they were when they played. Yeah, they're the same person, but they're not wearing the cape. They're not carrying that bravado that you need to carry with you to play a sport at that intense level.
Yeah, for sure. And like I say, they just seem more relaxed. And, you know, and Antonio Brown's the guy that I'd like to think is not the same guy that we're all thinking that he is now. And the other thing is, that's why I have such tingles to think about where this show's going. Look at a guy like Tory Gurley. We talked about how he got run out of the CFL by the Argos. And I thought he was a bad guy, because if you guys remember, one morning the Argos release were announcing Kevin Elliott, Vidal Hazelton, and Tory Gurley. And I thought was, oh, they're the problem. And since I talked to Tory on the phone and gotten to know him, he's like, they made it look like we were the problem. We weren't the problem. But the players can come on this show, and I guess I could say the networks and the teams have a way of portraying you that might not be correct. Mike Kelly is another one, the former Winnipeg Blue Bombers coach. I thought he was a ranting, raving lunatic, and then I spent a weekend with him in Winnipeg. I'm like, this guy is a great guy. But like you say, with the short little clips and what you do between the white lines, Dwight Anderson's a great example of that.
Yeah.
But when they butt all those clips up together of you doing crazy things, they can really make you look like a monster.
Yeah.
And as we found out, a lot of these guys are not. And these are a lot of the guys that are on this program regularly. And that's why it's fun having them on. We have to pause. You have a thought? Hang on to that. We're coming back for hour two of show number 70. People are really wanting us to get into the Twitter spat between Derek Taylor and John Ryan. I'm not against it. I'm not sure I'm for it, but we'll talk about that more next. Do you have some thoughts?
Yeah, we'll get into
it. A lot of people have thoughts. Also, Jim Lang, our NFL expert, and Les Lazarus coming up on show number 70. It's the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC pre-owned means clearance prices on every used vehicle in stock. That means special discounted prices on over 200 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, we have over 40 Jeeps to choose from. Save thousands on this fully loaded, certified pre-owned 2018 Grand Cherokee Limited 4x4. It's only $36,915 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned Compass Limited 4x4 has a clearance price of only $26,998 plus tax. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy, but I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at urinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.